How the hell is everybody doing? It is Rich, Ken, Ted Johnson, who will be back with us on Monday from the Ketches Law Studios. No fee unless you win, right here on 93.7 WEEI. As always, you can give us a call, 617-779-7937. Also, you can listen to us there in that Odyssey app and communicate with the show as well by pressing a little microphone button and launching us a take grenade, and we will play those in the 5 o'clock hour. Ken, how are we doing today? How are we feeling?
Excellent. And you remember I told you and Ted, the city, the region is turning on Tom Brady. You did, again, in my time, I am mocked. And here we go, yet another conspiracy theory that Brady sabotaged the Super Bowl of all things. Maybe not totally confirmed, but potentially I'm right again. I'm looking forward to getting to that with you later in the show.
Oh, I absolutely think that he has a vendetta against the Patriots. There's no question, but I don't think that anybody is like, I mean, I think that, what was your big hot take? Was that the city doesn't like Tom Brady anymore?
No, just that he, when he returns to call that game, the Packers game, right?
That's
coming up in week 9 or whatever. He needs to apologize to the region, especially coming off that Super Bowl week statement that he had no dog in the fight. And you guys kind of poo-pooed that. And if I recall, Stiz, you can confirm, a lot of phone calls saying, I'm a little nervous about this guy's behavior. I'm out on Tom, blah, blah, blah. Not going to take away what he did when he was here. But as of now, you can't trust the guy. And this is even worse, potentially, if true.
Well, I'll tell you what this, though, with the Odyssey on the horizon, Christopher Nolan said it the best in his movie The Dark Knight. You either die the hero or you live long enough to become the villain, and it apparently seems that's what's going on with Tom Brady.
Oh, by the way, I booked a ticket for next Thursday for the Odyssey. Is yours purchased?
No. And I'm never going to be able to go.
What?
I mean, dude, I looked, and like every IMAX like showing,
it's
gone viral.
You need the IMAX performance.
I got in there.
Are you kidding me?
What's wrong? I got my tickets booked, baby, Sunday.
I mean, I looked. There were a lot of seats. I mean, Blue Dot Fever, maybe. Maybe they're going to cancel it. It looked like it was wide open.
Well, because nobody wants to see it on a regular screen. Like, the Odyssey was the only film, I think, ever filmed entirely in IMAX format. As a matter of fact, it was annoying to all the cast from everything I read, because I guess that you could only film like 5 minutes at a time with an IMAX like camera, and it's so effing loud. Like the motor or whatever it takes to run that camera, that they had to build this special bubble around it so it didn't bleed into the actors talking. I mean, they really went all out. So yes, am I going to wait to see it in IMAX? Not a question. And is every single review making me pinch my nipples in happiness? You bet it is. Like, everyone's calling it a masterpiece, a classic, and how could it not be? I mean, it's Christopher Nolan, and he's making, you know, truly a legit awesome movie. Although I used to like the ones back in the day with the stop motion skeletons, those like old
like
Clash of the Titans,
yeah,
and like exactly. All that. Yeah, you see that I think there was a version of something like the Odyssey that was like that, but you know, if we can only beat that, then we can be so lucky.
Well, Stiz and I will break the movie down next Friday while you wait for the IMAX to open up for you. How about that?
Yeah, now we're talking. Now we're talking. All right, let's get to some stuff that happened there. Stiz, what do you say?
What just happened?
Sports happened.
Yes. And Sports Happened is brought to you by Jeffrey Glassman Injury Lawyers, Boston's go-to injury attorney for over 30 years. If you've been hurt in a car or work accident, you got to get Glassman. Call all sevens at 617-777-7777. Well, if you're wondering whether or not Jaylen was happy with the way Jason Tatum handled himself after he was traded, well, wonder no longer, my friend. Apparently, Jaylen's heart wasn't melted by Tatum's Times New Roman font phone-it-in goodbye post on his Instagram. I mean, listen, when you compare it to Tatum's goodbyes to Marcus Smart and Robert Williams, which, Stiz, great job finding those, because those are filled with, like, my dog for life, let's go win another chip, hashtag I dropkick a baby for you, come on. It was like, and there was even, like, emojis that meant things that I've never heard of before, like fingers crossed. And then, of course, with Jaylen's, it was like, hey, man, we played together for a while. Have fun.
To whom it may concern.
Yeah, that's right. It was goodbye Mad Libs, and they just typed in Jaylen Brown's name. Well, we now know exactly how Jaylen felt about all that, because Jaylen on social media liked this video posted by Bomani Jones. Let's take a listen, shall we?
Thing I don't like, though, if you f*** with me, Jason Tatum, you should win in that motherfucker.
went off and sat down with the motherfucker. Hey, let me tell you, motherfucker. That's my goddamn guy. Keep that motherfucker here.
Well, that's the part I'm actually surprised hasn't come up a little bit more, is that the Celtics had clearly decided that Jason Tatum is the one, even if he's coming off the Achilles tear. But he clearly did not jump in front of the bus on this one, right? Even if you don't think that Tatum got him out of there, Tatum did not keep him there. And I think that there's a story in that part.
Okay. I'm not going to kill Jason Tatum for not jumping in and saying, you got to keep this guy. Now, it is like very telling, because there's no question now how Jaylen Brown feels about it. Jaylen Brown obviously agrees. He liked that post.
Give it the thumbs up.
He gave me the old thumbs up. So we know that he's pissed off. And in fairness to Jaylen Brown, he's kind of been pretty open about how he was felt blindsided. There's no loyalty. I know that he talked to iShowSpeed for a while about loyalty. Do we have that clip by any chance?
That was a Gillette, by the way. He's down there taking on your guy Mbappe.
Oh, yes.
Enjoying the conversation. And, yeah, we do have that.
Well, two things about that. First of all, iShowSpeed is someone, because I am not of the iShowSpeed watching demo, that until 6 months ago I had no idea who he was, until I saw that like Newberry Street was almost shut down one day when I was down in that area. It's because iShowSpeed was doing this, like, I think it was like a 10-hour straight live feed where he was going to different cities, and here he was in Boston. And like, he just wanted to go buy Nikes, and there's like a million people following him around, just like trying to talk to iShowSpeed. There was, what was great, the best part was that he went for lunch to this gay bar called Jocks that's over kind of behind the Revere Hotel, over near kind of Back Bay in that area in the Common. And what was so great was that he goes in there, and he goes to go sit down, and I see a bunch of people in the background, like, leave, as if they, like, didn't want to be, like, oh, I told him I was somewhere else, you know.
Yeah. They kind of live streaming from here.
It's like, oh, no. But it was great. So iShowSpeed, obviously, people love the dude, and he was at Gillette Stadium with Jaylen Brown, and Jaylen Brown got a huge round of applause when they showed him up on the Jumbotron, as I knew he would, as I knew that, you know, when they end up scheduling his big goodbye, that thing that he, you know, he was going to do something yesterday, and they canceled it because even he realized this thing's going to blow up. But when it happens, it's going to be enormous. But here is Jaylen Brown talking to iShowSpeed yesterday a little bit about what went down.
I just got traded.
Oh, yeah. You left Boston. Where are you going?
Philadelphia.
You going to Philly?
Yeah, they packed me up, bro.
Wow, bro.
It's a crazy business, bro. Don't become a basketball player. There's no loyalty.
What happened? You just got traded?
That's a good question. That's a real good question. I think a lot of people want to hear that. They asking that question right now. I don't know.
All right.
Packed up.
You got packed up.
Yeah.
What does that even mean?
They packed me up. Sayonara, I'm out of here.
Yeah. Don't become a basketball player. Don't get $300 million in
Seriously.
One contract.
And Jaylen wants to be iShowSpeed, right? I mean, that's his idol. This is his goal.
He signed up for his streamer school.
Of course.
Well, I do know that Jaylen Brown showed up that day when iShowSpeed was around town, and I saw the clip of it. Jaylen had no plan. It was like, he's not good at, like, iShowSpeed's at least like an entertainer, and he's like trying to, you know, say stuff to the camera, and he's kind of a funny dude. And Jaylen just shows up and was like, hey, what's up, Jaylen Brown? And then iShowSpeed's like, yeah, you're Jaylen Brown. He's like, yeah. And he just kind of just like walked around with him and didn't really do anything or say anything. But yeah, I mean, that listen, he's pissed. Jaylen Brown is pissed, and
I think we knew that. But I guess the whole thing, the bigger news story today from the Celtics is just the weird vibe to me, because obviously Jaylen's gone. You have the summer league starting. Our guy Tier One Terp's going to check in at 5 o'clock from Vegas. They're going to start playing games out there with Ugo. But Mazzulla talked for the first time, and that's his answers were kind of a weird vibe. And you've got Mitchell Robinson, who's joining the team, going at Celtics fans on Instagram, I guess in like kind of a fun fashion, but they paid the guy $16 million. What was the thing he already said last week? Was like his teammate was like, you know, ripping him, and he's like, bro, I didn't want to leave. Like, it's just, wouldn't you say it's just a weird vibe around everybody associated with the Celtics?
Which I don't blame things for being weird. Like, one of the most loved players, one of the best players that this team has had in, you know, a decade or two, you know, since Paul Pierce left, is gone. And there's all these people talking about whether there's any kind of strife between the main two guys. And now it seems like, yeah, Jaylen Brown is holding this against Jason Tatum. He liked that post. It's not a question anymore is whether or not he's bitter.
I don't think Tatum likes that world, right? He's not going to want to have a whole season where JB's like taking little shots at him, you know, subtle shots. And if Robinson is this rabbit ears where somebody Boston Sports Clips puts on IG, he better be great. Otherwise, he'll be remembered for missing two free throws against us, to which Mitchell Robinson replied, "That's cool. Still sent that ass home. Remember that." Like this is going to be a whole year of just people chirping and, you know, drama.
But also think, okay, so Mitchell Robinson, I almost understand him too. I wouldn't be acting this way.
They just gave him $16 million for the year, $44 million for the next three, and he's attacking Celtics fans.
But he wanted to stay in New York because they just won a championship. You know, he loved being in New York, but dumbass James Dolan, and I got a James Dolan story later on too. I've told you he's the worst owner in sports. I have just more evidence you can put on that pile, that massive Mount Rushmore size pile for James Dolan, how awful he is. But yeah, but Dolan wouldn't pay him. And so I understand the butthurt right now. And as a matter of fact, there's part of me that likes that there's a guy on this team who's kind of bitching and like has a personality, because this team has been so boring off the court for so long.
Yeah, well, not anymore. But you get wish. You know, they're exciting. They got drama. That's not always good. That's not always good to girlfriend. That's not always good in a basketball team you follow.
No, it is not. Do we have that Windhorse clip? Because this is good too as well. Because this is I think it's what we all knew, and it all makes sense. Like the reason why they wanted to get rid of him, I still don't think they should have gotten rid of him this year because there was nothing. They got nothing for him. But this does make sense. Let me hear Windhorse.
In the case of Jaylen Brown, the Celtics believed that Jaylen Brown was going to be seeking a contract extension this summer. And if they gave him that extension, then not only did they think they were not getting $57 million in value out of him, but then he would have become untradeable.
Okay. Yeah, we knew that contract was something that the Celtics would really have to think long and hard about locking yourself into these two guys. As I said, there's basketball reasons why you get rid of Jaylen Brown. There is no reason why you had to get rid of him this year when you realized the return you were going to get was Paul effing George. So you could, that's a deal you could have made next year. No one's clamoring for Paul George and his awful contract. There was no possible reason, unless things were so bad behind the scenes, which I don't believe. I believe he's pissed now, as I probably would too if I was Jaylen Brown and I wanted to stay here. And my guy didn't say anything or stick up for me. I guess I'd be a little pissed. But that's all going to go away. It was funny, though. iShow Speed was saying, "Hey, man, you know, Six, what about LeBron?" And Jaylen was like, "Yeah, man, LeBron, come play with us." And iShow Speed goes, "Yeah, it'll be you, Tyrese Maxey, PG-13. Right. And Jaylen and Stephanie go, no, he's not on the team anymore. Paul George isn't there anymore. He's not on the team." He had to correct him. Oh, man. Well, what a fun month it's been, huh? This whole Jaylen Brown thing. Well, I guess we know now. Now we know. We know that he's pissed at Jason Tatum for not sticking up for him, but what the hell? You know, it's like, that's Tatum. That's, you said it best. That's not Tatum's character. I think he's looking forward to being, without question now, the guy.
Well, that's why I think the Missoula comments are interesting, for him to say they need a new identity, you know, and he's still processing it, which, you know, we'll get to later in the show. I think he's going to have a lot. I think he and Tatum are buds. I mean, Tatum got on the job, so they must still be tight. I don't know if Missoula is really pro Jaylen leaving, though. That's one thing it's tough to evaluate. And Windhorst also went on to say that Brad couldn't be honest about the situation, you know, or maybe he even was in that clip. Obviously, he's talking about the money angle of it. But that sounds like spin to me. Like, all right, we're going to blame it on the money.
Gonzalez smear campaign.
Oh boy.
Already begun. Oh, goodness. We talked to an insider the other day. Oh, yeah. It is 93.7 WEEI. Rich, Ken, Teddy J is going to be back on Monday. You can give us a call at 617-779-7937. That is the voice of Jeremy Fowler. We had him on. He's from ESPN Insider. He was on with us the other day talking about the Christian Gonzalez situation, and I think the scariest part of that entire interview, Ken, was when he said it's been very quiet between the team
Absolutely.
And Christian Gonzalez.
And I guess nobody expected necessarily that this contract would get done on July 10th, but he did say, like, I think there's been some progress on Witherspoon, the other guy, who's got the same agent as Gonzalez, the Seattle corner.
Yeah.
Didn't he say that? And whereas he said Gonzalez has been quiet. So, you know, I bet you that Gonzalez wants to wait for Witherspoon to sign so he knows what he will get because he wants more, even though they have the same agent. But the Patriots, what's against them signing Gonzalez today, you know, this week, getting it done?
Yeah, this is scary because we know what Christian Gonzalez wants. According to reports, it's not just that Christian Gonzalez wants to be the highest paid player at his position, but there was a report that said that his agent's going to go in and make the argument that he should be the highest paid defensive player in the league. Now, I think that that's probably, if you're his agent, the right way to go about it, is that ask for the amount of money that makes you the highest paid defensive player, and then the way that you concede and the way that you kind of meet in the middle is by, oh, okay, we'll just take being the highest paid quarterback in the game.
Exactly.
I get that. And that makes all the sense in the world why you would do that. But, you know, we've talked about this Patriots ownership. They're looking right now down the barrel of not only paying a guy like A.J. Brown that they just got, but they're going to set the market when Drake May has to sign his extension, which is next year. Mm-hmm. So they're already looking that they're going to be spending a ton of money. So to have two players that set the market on their position is really a huge decision to make. And I mean, and it's kind of like with the Celtics. You had two players that were going to take up 70% of their cap, and with the Patriots, you've got two guys that are going to take a massive chunk. So, you know, we don't know whether or not this whole new outlook from the Crafts, this whole new Drake May outside of the Tom Brady years, is going to mean we're just going to spend whatever it takes. And it's a lot of money. So to hear that things have been quiet between Christian Gonzalez and the Patriots is a little scary. And then this report comes out.
Mm-hmm.
This report from Greg Bedard, who I like, by the way.
And you know Bedard well. Now, do you think he's briefed? Like, does he get spin from the organization that he puts out in different forms as his own?
I think Greg is a great reporter. And this is what I mean by that, is I do think that when he reports that he hears somebody in the organization say something, somebody in the organization said it. Now, does that mean somebody picked up a phone and called him? Maybe. Does it mean that he was speaking to several different people and he overheard someone in the organization say that? Maybe. But it doesn't make the information any less valuable. Mm-hmm. What it says is that there is somebody who's there who I would believe most likely would have some sort of influence on the situation, on signing him, that is saying this. And whether that's to try to shoot down the value of Christian Gonzalez so they get a better deal, which absolutely could be, or it truly means that they're a little scared about trying to sign a guy to that much money. But needless to say, here's what Greg Bedard, who I think is a very good reporter, a lot of people think he's a crapster. I honestly think he reports what he hears.
Could
and some people
could
don't like that. You know, some people are like, I am not a big fan of the things that you're saying about my favorite team because it's not all positive. But in this case, I don't think Greg Bedard has ever reported something that wasn't legit, something that he heard from someone in the organization. So let's let it roll. Let's hear this.
One part on that, one knock on Gonzalez. Some scouts and coaches believe he's not physical enough. I would say you could include some people with the Patriots also thinking that. Quote, his game is a bit finesse at times.
Okay. All right. So they're saying that he's not physical enough.
Well, this is the same thing that was in that Fowler write-up about Gonzalez. Even though he was listed as the third best corner in the league, one NFL personnel evaluator, quote, his game is a bit finesse at times. So there again, I don't know if that personnel guy is a Patriots guy, but, you know, that underbelly is out there. But it does seem to me like it's a contract response. You know, if you're right and they're going for huge money, top of the market money for defensive players, this is your retort. Like, hey, you know, you've got some weaknesses too. Let's meet in the middle and be done at $31 million a year, whatever it is, $35 million a year, somewhere in that range.
I agree with you. First of all, I think this is exactly what it is. I think it's the Patriots trying to lower his value. It's trying to get this out there so that the agent gets scared that they might run away. And that's dirty, and I hate it, but that's also how the NFL works. It's how sports works, and it sucks. And I don't like the fact that it's most likely because, you know, I hate when teams do that. I hate when they can't deal with their stuff behind the scenes, at least sit down, you know, and man to man, or at least agent to owner, and say, we believe he has these deficiencies, and here's why we don't want to pay him this way. But already, it should scare you that they're trying to get in front with the public perception so the fans don't riot. You know, when we all know with our own two eyes that Christian Gonzalez is one of the best corners in the game, and that if they want to keep him, they're going to have to pay top dollar. Well, the best part about all this is Christian Gonzalez doesn't like this as well. As a matter of fact, that Greg Bedard clip was going viral, and Christian Gonzalez responded to it.
And this is legit his account, correct?
This is his account. This is Christian Gonzalez's account. Blue check mark, and he says, Greg Bedard got some new to say at me every day, LOL.
Yeah. So, but does Gonzalez think that Bedard is speaking on behalf of the organization, or does he just think he's a media, as Jaylen Brown would say, you know, part of Big J journalist? You're supposed to be a journalist.
I think he's pissed that it's out there, and I think he's yelling at Bedard because he's like, you know, what are you doing? Why are you putting this out there? Why are you carrying the water for the organization, the people I'm negotiating against? I see why he's saying it. And you know what? I would get pissed too, even though I believe that Bedard was actually either told that. Or, you know, and a lot of these reporters know they are being pawns for a negotiation. But it doesn't mean you don't report that. You know, it's for us to decide whether or not this is somebody just trying to, you know, make some sort of public discourse where everyone's like, you know what, this guy does kind of stink when you think about it. But we're not idiots. And I say that all the time. Like, the Boston fans are not idiots. We can see right through this. This is absolutely the Patriots trying to lower the value because they're getting scared, because they realize it's going to have to be all in or nothing, because Gonzalez will not take anything less than setting the market on the corner. And you should be a little bit scared, because Ted Johnson was on top of this. Ted was like, I don't think, because I was saying the whole time it's a slam dunk. I'm like, there's no way you don't pay Christian Gonzalez. You know, this, especially the year after you just went to the Super Bowl.
Well, especially, too, when you look at these lists that Fowler's putting out, like, they are not appearing in the top 10 of any of these positions, other than Gonzalez, who's the third best corner in the league. Milton Williams was the ninth best defensive tackle. You don't have a top 10 tight end. You don't have a top 10 edge rusher. You don't have a top 10 running back. I mean, Ted has said this as well. He thinks the roster is kind of average, right? I mean, I think they're better than the sum of their parts. Like, they have a lot of pretty good players, maybe not elite players. But no doubt, Gonzalez is elite.
He hasn't done all the positions yet.
Not all of them. There's only five of them.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, he hasn't done a quarterback. I mean, the important positions, they're very good. I mean, corner, receiver, quarterback.
You don't have a top edge rusher? That's not good, you know?
That's the one major, that I would say that that's the other major position that you need to have an elite player. Right now, you've got about three out of the, I would say four. Like, you need four positions to be elite. Quarterback, wide receiver, corner, and edge.
O-line would help, given the Super Bowl we just watched, but yeah.
It would help, but I think that those four are kind of, I would believe, probably the most most important. All right, 617-779-7937. Speaking of the Patriots, there's a lot of talk of a certain legend being a traitor.
Unreal.
Being an absolute traitor.
It's crazy. By the way, can I get this little breaking news in real quick before we tease
this?
Sure, yeah. The Red Sox are still in Chicago. It's 2:27 p.m. Their game starts at 7:15. They have another flight issue. They might not make the game. It's unbelievable.
Wait, what?
They are
still in Chicago?
Multiple reports, Tim Healy first. The Red Sox are still in Chicago. The plan remains to play tonight, but they need to make it to New York first. And then Tom Caron, 5 minutes ago, update, they're still in Chicago.
Hang on. But the game ended at like 5 yesterday.
Right, right. They just hung
out
in Chicago.
Could they have not taken a bus?
Right, maybe, yeah.
Like, so, there's no excuse for that. I know planes, you know, and flights and stuff are all screwy, but I mean, this isn't like we only had a couple hours to get there. Like, your game ended early, and you're still in Chicago.
Yikes!
All right, well, that game might get canceled. What is that, like a 2-hour flight?
Yeah, there's, according to Healy, they're still on track to land at like 4:15, but that was, you know, 15-20 minutes ago. So they're going to get in at best 3 hours before the game. The airport's not far, but that ain't great.
We know what happened the last time they got in late. They ended up sweeping the Yankees.
They're too good. It's a conspiracy theory by the league that, you know, get them off the rails.
That's right. Well, you know what? It's the lack of sleep Red Sox. They actually end up doing all right when that happens. All right, let's get to this Tom Brady stuff because it's fascinating. Because I know it doesn't seem like Tom Brady likes the Patriots at all. And did he help them lose the Super Bowl? We will get to that right after this. It is 93.7 WEEI. Rich certainly, but Ken Laird. You can call us at 617-779-7937. Oh, damn it, I thought this was the Dale Ordway version. I thought this was the Cult of Optionality from our own Jackson that he made the other day after that fantastic Brad Stevens' press conference.
You're correct. That's not immortal the way Hooters is. I mean, the Hooters.
Hooters. Hey, Hooters.
Yeah, that's one of them. Some should see the light of day sometimes, and some shouldn't, and then that one should not.
You are the songbird of our generation, Jackson. Don't you let anybody tell you anything different. Let's go to Mark on line one. Mark, what's happening, man? How you doing?
Hey, Mark.
Yeah, hey, guys. On Christian Gonzalez, he's not meant to be a tackler. I mean, the cornerbacks are both the lightest people on the field for the most part. So he's supposed to have safeties to have his back. His job is to cover very fast, taller guys. They're almost always taller than him, for sure. They almost always weigh more than him. So, you know, the fact that the Patriots or whoever is throwing it out there that he's not physical enough, I just don't buy that for a second. That's
well,
what I got.
Well, I think it's a fine line, though. It's like, if you're going to pay me $35 million, I need you to be good at everything the way Patrick Surtain is, right? Isn't that what they're arguing? Not that he's not good.
I don't think he's quite there. I mean, he's not Darrell Revis. I mean, he's, you know, maybe, you know, a Pro Bowl player for sure. But I just don't see him, you know, risking his body. His job's to cover. That's how I see it.
Well, I don't like that, Mark, and thanks for calling. Like, I mean, put it this way. I do think that there's a times where you see Christian Gonzalez and you wish he could be a little more physical. But is he still worth setting the market because he's just that good at the other parts of it? Absolutely.
Yeah.
There's not a question.
And if you lose him, my God, or if he misses half the year in a holdout, I mean, that could derail your entire season. Let's be honest. He's got the leverage and he's got the fans on his side, correct?
Yeah, and on top of that, Ken, how many games did Ted say that Christian Gonzalez was worth? Was it two games, or am I getting that mixed up with A.J. Brown?
Could be. I don't recall. We'll ask him Monday when he comes back, but it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, at least two games, right?
You know what? With the amount of firepower they're going after, I could see Christian Gonzalez costing you two games. And, and this year, when that schedule is so tough, two games could be the difference between making...
Yeah. I mean, no, I think they lost... I think they lost the Steelers game without Gonzalez. What was that, week three? I mean, so we've seen it, you know, the difference when he's not in the field, the trickle-down was huge. Now, maybe they're better prepared for it. They did draft a couple of corners.
Yeah.
But that's a lot to ask, you know, rookies to step in and be a factor.
Yep. All right. Well, speaking about being a factor, was Tom Brady a factor in the Patriots losing horribly in this Super Bowl?
This is unbelievable.
Is it unbelievable, though?
Yes,
because it all kind of makes sense. Let's go to this clip. So head coach Mike McDonald of the Seattle Seahawks, he was on with Dan Patrick. And Dan Patrick actually asked a very good question here. And listen to Mike McDonald's response when it comes to, did anybody help you out in planning for the Super Bowl?
Who did you seek advice from going into the Super Bowl that might surprise me?
I wouldn't have surprised. I called John Harbaugh and I talked. He was great. Probably can't mention one guy that really helped us out that had some conflict of interest.
can we guess?
Sure. I don't know if I'm going to tell you, but go ahead.
Bill Belichick.
I'm not that cool.
You wouldn't have a phone call.
I've had a beer with Coach Belichick, and that was pretty cool.
All right. So there was also a story that came out before this, that after the Super Bowl, Tom Brady had reached out to Mike McDonald and told him congratulations as well.
In fact, might I just give Stiz a plug here? Stiz was hot about the story when it happened. Correct, Stiz?
Yeah, this was back in February. The news came out that Tom Brady had texted congratulations to Mike McDonald, and I went on air, and I was like, I'm done. I'm done with this guy. This was after, you know, no dog in the fight. This was after Drake May.
In New England.
Yep, Drake May even said he got a text from Peyton Manning, of all people. Guess who didn't text our New England Patriot quarterback? Tom Brady. So I was just like, I'm done. I'm over this guy.
You're right. I mean, the whole no dog in the fight thing. So taking a look at this, it obviously was Tom Brady. There's not even a question, right? Did anybody, all agree this is Tom Brady.
The only other
right?
people that I think it could be would be like Edelman or Gronk or somebody. But I, you know. Those guys have been so pro-Patriot, it would be,
they're homers.
Be hard to believe. Like, who else could it be?
Edelman's got that Foxborough Forever t-shirt that he sells on his JE11 website.
Right.
And Gronk is even, as I said, Gronk keeps coming back, you know, to Boston. He loves it here, even though he doesn't live here. Like, the guys, it's not those two. It's Tom Brady. We know that. Tom Brady has got a hair up his butt for the way things went down here with the Crafts. He's not, obviously, he's a guy that, it almost seems like when he's in Foxborough, He's like, oh, this place is the best. But as soon as he leaves, he's like, F those guys.
Listen, and I don't have a dog in the fight.
Oh,
if
yeah.
you, Rich, if you are right, not only did he reach out to him for advice, when McDonald says the phrase, he really helped us out, that's what puts it over the edge. If this is Tom Brady and he, quote, really helped us out, that's intel. That's, I mean, they got their ass kicked, so maybe it wouldn't have made a difference. But,
right.
but you know Josh McDaniels so well, it could have made a difference.
So exactly. Who knows McDaniels' offense better?
There's nobody. And that is true, and obviously any intel could help. But let's be 1,000,000% honest and not fool ourselves. Tom Brady could have been missing, just a missing person, like been nowhere near this team and not spoken a word. Matter of fact, Coach Mike McDonald could have literally, his entire coaching staff could have disappeared and gotten beamed up to a different planet, and he had to scheme the entire thing on his own. The Patriots were still getting their asses kicked in that Super Bowl. There wasn't even a question. They were so underprepared. Drake was so off, whether he was injured or just the moment was too big for him. Dude, they were going to get killed whether Brady said a word or not. Brady could have stolen the playbook. I'm telling you, there's no... Right. It doesn't matter. They were going to get their ass kicked
The only thing about that is they did come alive a little bit at the end of the game. It took a little while to adjust, and early in the game, it was pressure that was causing all the problems. So right, it was 6 sacks. May was hit 11 times. Was there something in, like, the blocking scheme that Brady said, McDaniels loves this, watch out for that? You know what I mean?
Like, Stop for a minute, because, like, would anything Brady said have made that offensive line not be a sieve the way that it was?
Yeah, it could.
It was a revolving door. Like, those guys, it was awful. Well, it was embarrassing. It was individual performance sucked during that game. Individual performance. Yeah, and you know what? It probably didn't help that it seems like these guys kind of knew it. But then again, that's almost on Josh McDaniels. It's like, Josh, get creative.
Okay, but whether it actually swung the game or not, I think you're right. I mean, largely, you're correct. They would have probably lost the game anyway and probably got blown out. But for Brady to have really helped them out.
Yeah, he's a dick.
That is, I mean, that
it
is.
It might be time to take the statue down.
I mean, honestly, Stiz, it's like you threw a night for this guy, Brady night. You had the statue. He's coming back. Maybe you don't let him back in the building when he comes around. You know,
you can as a Patriots fan, 1,000,000% appreciate Tom Brady for what he did for your organization, but you can absolutely 1,000,000% also think he's been a dick ever since he's left.
I really want to know from Patriots fans: do you think this made a difference in the Super Bowl? If it was Brady, it's an if. We don't know. But, do you think this made any kind of a difference? And does this finally, maybe you were on the fence about whether you're out on Brady, he's changed, you're out on him in his, post-retirement career. Has this swung the needle for you at all? I would love to hear. I mean, only Patriots fans can answer. I am not, we're journalists. We're like, we follow the team, but it's stunning to me.
Ken, I think that a lot of Patriots fans are like me, is that you look at what Brady, you separate the two. Tom Brady, when he was here, you appreciate what he did. You love it. You're never going to see anybody like that again. But ever since he's left, he's been a dick. He's like a dick. And I don't even think he even likes the Patriots. He definitely doesn't like Massachusetts. He's talked about that, about how awful it was living here.
Yeah.
What was that quote you had? It was a great quote. It was like, he didn't like it here. I mean, it's the reason why they got the F out of Dodge. They never comes back. I mean,
you won't catch me dead living in the Northeast.
You see, oof. Like, he hated it. Like, uh-huh. He did not like it. As I think,
but yet he loves Bill now. Like, he and Bill are fine. He holds a grudge against Kraft when Bill drove the whole thing. Like, why?
You want to know why? I think they both have a little something against Kraft. I mean, if you're Brady, you're probably pissed at Kraft because he didn't choose you.
But if Bill had said, "I want to keep Tom," don't you think he would have pushed Kraft to step up and pay him? I mean,
maybe I don't know, but I just know that he didn't. But the other thing too is that I think that the whole thing? Two people who share the same enemies as a friend of mine. I mean, you've got Tom Brady's not a big fan of the Krafts. It doesn't seem like. I mean, listen, he's not like a he doesn't hate him. He just I think he's still bitter and he kind of holds those grudges. And then you've got stupid Bill's girlfriend wearing an Orchids of Asia t-shirt, which just really pissed me off. Jordan, she is like a horrible human being.
The enemy of my enemy is my friend.
That's it. That's what it is.
I mean, next? Like, we're going to find out, like, Brady cost Kraft his Hall of Fame vote. You sullied the waters there. Like, he is on a personal mission against this franchise.
I don't think it's that bad. I think behind the scenes, if you were to ask him, and it was totally confidential, he'd say, "I'm pissed off at the Krafts." But he's also mature enough that in public he's like, yeah, you know, Patriots, blah, 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 blah. But he won't go so far as to pick them in the Super Bowl. I don't have a dog in this fight. Yeah, I'm 617-779-7937. Ken, I think most people are on my side.
Well, look
is that they appreciate Tom Brady, the player, when he was here with the Patriots, but the minute he left, he was a dick. And you can love the player when he was here, and you can love him as an NFL guy, but you can also think, man, this dude's from a different planet, cloning his effing dog. He's just a total weirdo.
Well, no, now he's Benedict Brady. I mean, he's Tommy Traitor. Greg had those T-shirts made right after he left for Tampa. Here are some texts. Now, you have one on your side. 207, he's always been a dink, but he's our dink. Now that he's gone, he's just a dink again.
Yeah, that's great. That's a great way to say it. Yep,
508 text, JJ from the Cape, I vote to bring those Tommy Traitor shirts back. 774, this definitely made me say F you Brady. And it's and by the way, it's easier to know to stop it when you know what's coming in regards to the game, the Super Bowl itself.
But I don't think that. But you don't believe that Tom Brady was the reason that the Patriots lost that game. Even if Tom Brady was like there, giving him all the entire playbook.
I can't rule it out. I think it's kind of a moot point. I mean,
you don't remember that
either
game.
Either way,
then.
Who cares?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, well, if it costs you a Super Bowl, that's pretty big news.
All right, we'll take your calls. 617-779-7935. Jackson, if you wouldn't mind popping them up on the screen. I'm sorry, 93. Why do I always say that? I have no idea.
Because you worked for a station with a 5 in it. Now it's a 7.
I guess so. I just love the number 5. All right, you can give us a call. We'll take your calls next. Yes, it is 93.7 WEEI. Rich Shurtenleaf, Ken Laird, Ted Johnson back on Monday. You can give us a call at 617-779-7937. We are in the Catches Law Studios, no fee unless you win. And Tom Brady apparently helped the Seahawks beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl this past year. If you draw that conclusion from what you heard, let's listen to it's Ken. What do you got to say, buddy? Line 2. How's it going?
Well, another Ken. He can't be wrong.
Or Kevin. I'm sorry, Kevin.
Kevin.
Let's go.
Who knows?
Sorry.
Who knows, Kevin?
Yeah, I guess that's me. So, I mean, it just sounds like absolute sour grapes nonsense. This is like the Indianapolis Colts blaming deflated balls on a loss. I mean, Josh McDaniels' offense is on tape for everyone to see. More so for an NFL coordinator that's game planning against him in a Super Bowl. The idea that what do you think Tom Brady said? Hey guys, Josh likes to run this play on third down. Yeah, no kidding. He's been running those plays on third down for 15 years. I just think it's a bunch of nonsense. It's a loser. Backwards looking, hey, we have to come up with an excuse for why we lost this game. We got our butt kicked in that game. The Seattle Seahawks said it to us for 4 straight quarters. We had nothing to say about it. And now they're turning around and trying to say, oh, well, Tom Brady gave them some inside info. Inside info into an offense he hadn't played in 5-6 years with a guy who hadn't coached him for 5 or 6 years. This guy, his offense is on tape. Everyone can see it. Everyone can watch it. You can pull up hundreds of games of Josh McDaniels tapes and come up with his own tendencies. You don't need Tom Brady to tell you that. It's a bunch of garbage. It's losery. It's nonsense. It's crap. And honestly, it's not worth our time. Thanks.
Kevin, okay. First of all, 2 things. Number one, never apologize for saying ass on our show.
We embrace the ass on our show. Stephen A. Smith
loves asses, so why can't we? The other part, by the way, that I was thinking, how funny would it be if Josh McDaniels had called Tom Brady for advice? And Tom Brady gave him, like, 3 can't-miss plays. And then, like, Mike McDonald calls Tom Brady. Here's the 3 can't-miss plays I gave Josh McDaniels.
Well, true. And honestly, he hired Clint Kubiak, who was the offensive coordinator of the Seahawks, to be his head coach. You don't think he was talking to Clint Kubiak about ways to beat the Patriots?
Exactly.
Brady helped him. Brady helped the Seahawks. He did. But it didn't mean that's not the reason that the Patriots lost. The Patriots were ill-prepared. They were, like, injured. The individual performances were awful. But that doesn't change the fact that, sure, if you're a Patriots fan and you heard the Brady thing, Brady is not a huge fan of the Patriots. And the crazy thing about it all is that it's not like this would have hurt Brady's legacy. If the Patriots would have won, it's just one win. But I mean, I also believe he's the most effing competitive human being that's ever walked this earth. You don't think that's part of him that after he left, he's like, I don't want this team to ever win again. I want them to be a loser organization after I take off. That should be the end of it. So I believe 1,000,000%. He tried to. He helped the coach of the Seahawks.
And by the way, why would Mike McDonald call him if he didn't think it would help? You know, or admit to it. Like he called John Harbaugh because he obviously wanted his advice. So
yeah, Dude, I would call Brady. If I was a coach that was playing the Patriots and I knew that Josh McDaniels was the one calling the plays, you don't think I would call Brady? You're not doing your job if you don't call Tom Brady. Now, Tom Brady doesn't have to respond to you, but I
listen,
think
I don't have a dog in the fight.
Ooh,
listen, sounds like you did, Tom.
Sounds like you did.
I don't think it's a hot take at all that Tom Brady helped him. I think it's an easy line, like an A to B. Like, you can just draw the line right from one dot to the next. He absolutely helped him. But he's been a dick ever since he's left.
Now, does he have a right to feel that way? If you were Brady, because this is what I have to tell myself. Okay, they did pick Belichick over Brady.
Yeah.
So that's a fact. So he still holds a grudge, you know, like.
Most people get over stuff after a while. Like, most people, I mean, you know, Mike Tyson hated Don King. Don King basically, like, you know, like, stole all of Mike Tyson's money. Don King, like, you know, exploited him, took everything from him. And we interviewed Mike Tyson. Except his pigeons. We interviewed Mike Tyson a couple years ago. He's like, no, man, you know, I wanted to kill the mother effer before, but I love, you know what, it's all good. We've kissed and made up. Brady does not have that gene in him. He does not have the kiss and make up, everything's all right. That guy is so freaking competitive that, yeah, I can totally see him, because of them not giving him the money he wanted. They wouldn't even give him the Drew Bledsoe deal of the 2 years for $25 million. They wouldn't even give him that. So, yeah, I would be
pissed. Yeah, but they gave him Brady Knight. They gave him a statue.
But
you know,
who was that for?
How big is the statue?
Who was that for? Because if you say Tom Brady, you're wrong. That was for Robert Kraft.
Well, no,
that was so he can cleanse his image to the fans.
Yeah, I think there's some truth to that, Ken.
Look, we're all good buddies. We're great. Please don't remember that I'm the one that scared off your guy, and the next year he won a Super Bowl and shoved it in your face. That's exactly what it was.
Okay, so
that was for Robert Kraft, not Tom Brady.
If somebody builds a 17-foot-tall Rich Shirtlieb statue, even if it wasn't totally for you, you don't think it's immortalizing you in some way? You know,
Who needed it more? Tom Brady or Robert Kraft?
Okay, but they also paid him to come. Like, God, what does it take to get over things that you're not calling the other team for the biggest game on the planet and giving them intel?
You just proved my point. It was such an honor that Tom Brady loved it so much that they had to pay him to go.
Right, and then he pocketed the money and then deliberately tried to sink them in the Super Bowl. It's wild.
He did. Tom Brady holds grudges like nobody else
Why don't you go after the jiu-jitsu guy? I mean, at least there you got like a direct, you know, something to beef about.
Who says he's not, you know? Who says there isn't some sort of plan that we just don't know about? Oh, the jiu-jitsu guy. It was so funny because that was the one. It was like, it was Mr. Don't Worry About Him. You know, people you know that have been in relationships, maybe you've been in a relationship where it's like, oh, don't worry about that guy. It always ends up being that guy. And in that case, it's the jiu-jitsu dude. There were jokes about it. There were pictures of them together, and they were still together. And sure enough, that was the guy. All right, 617.
By the way, Red Sox still in Chicago, per the latest report. Unbelievable. They were supposed to leave last night at 9:45 p.m., and they have not found a way to get out of Chicago. And it's, what now, 4 hours before the game?
When's the last time you remember a game was canceled because a team couldn't make it?
I don't quite ever remember that. I mean, short of like a hurricane or something like that where they just, it's an obvious situation, not for just flight issues. How much money does the Fenway Sports Group have? Like, can't you, like you said, can't you arrange something else?
Robert's got to send Kraft Force One.
That's right.
Kraft's got to bail him out again.
I honestly don't. There's almost no excuse for this. If the plane was supposed to leave yesterday at, what'd you say, 9 o'clock?
Yeah, 9:45.
And it's 3 p.m. and they haven't made it to play the Mets.
It's gonna be doubleheader tomorrow.
You could have gotten a bus this morning. Like, if you knew, is there even a huge storm out there? It probably is. I don't know. But still, you got to figure something out. You know, the show must go on. That's gonna be kind of wild if they cancel that game. Because now, right, the earliest they'll get out is, what, like 30 minutes from now?
I mean, it honestly will become a call now where you get in so close to game time. I know they did this already once and they beat Schlittler and the Yankees, but do you want to play a game when you have 2 hours to prepare for it? Like, that's a pretty distinct disadvantage.
Yep,
Wouldn't you push for a doubleheader if you're Chad Tracy? Be like, look, we're going to be I want Sonny Gray to be prepared and ready to go tonight.
This team's ready, man. Come on, dude. Did you not watch them over the last couple of weeks?
Durbin is going to be in the home run derby, damn it.
All right. Coming up next, speaking of your Boston Red Sox, Caleb Durbin sucked at the beginning of the year. I mean, he was an absolute disaster. The guy couldn't hit. It was truly like a, oh, my God, did the Red Sox get suckered into getting this guy? What was the promise that we had? And now look what's happened. And when did it all turn around? It was when the very controversial move was made of Caleb Durbin going outside the Red Sox organization to find his own private batting coach during the season. Is on with us next. 2 minutes. We'll be back.